Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule. It's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review. And joining me this episode is Juliana. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And Juliana has not read this book. And
no.
But the reason why I asked her on here is because this book, I actually finished it a few weeks ago, and I just read it as a Kindle ebook. And then I went away. I was going to review it, but then didn't get around to it. And then we were going to do an episode on Saga, the comic book.
We still haven't done that.
And then I went away because I lost my passport and had some extra traveling back to the UK to pick up to get myself a new passport. And then Juliana came over to the UK, and we did all this other stuff. And then we got back like a week ago, more than a week ago, like a week and a half ago.
Yes.
And I'd just forgotten about this book. And which brings it over to the ironic thing about this book, that this book is called Unforgettable.
Ha ha ha!
It's not a joke. This book is called Unforgettable, and it's by Eric James Stone. What does that say there? It's the little thing is covered it.
Is there not like about this?
Yeah,
book
let's have a look.
Eric James Stone.
This book is called Unforgettable. Unfortunately. Again, this sounds like a joke that I've set this up intentionally. I really didn't mean to do this. Because I finished reading it probably 3.5 weeks ago, I can't remember all that much about it. Or put it this way, I'm sure there's many things about it that I've forgotten. So that's why...
So it is actually quite forgettable.
No, it's not forgettable. I'm sure I'll remember most things about it. But if I do forget anything, I'll be like, hey, do you understand what's going on here? So the reason I read this book is because it was mentioned on Reading Envy with Jenny. And I think it was Scott who... Those are the two who first set up that podcast. But Scott isn't a regular guest anymore. I mean, he's not a regular co-host. He's just a guest on there now.
Okay.
And Scott said, yeah, this guy, Eric James Stone, I think he's kind of local to where Scott was, and he's written lots of short stories. And
Where is that?
I don't know, Utah or something like
that. Okay.
Off the top of my head.
So American.
Yeah, so American. He's an American author. And so you just, I'm just like, okay. And he says, oh, it's one of his first novels, but it's a fun book. And it's about somebody who, every time someone meets him, he then, when they don't see him or hear him or kind of acknowledge that he or notice that he's existing for more than 60 seconds, they just forget him. And so
he has to be in people's lives less than 60 seconds so they forget him.
No, the point is that if he meets someone, they can, and he's in the room with them talking to them, they're like, oh, hey, what's your name? And he's like, my name's Nat. And they're like, Nathaniel, I can't remember. Nat is all I remember as the main character's name. Because it's all in first person, so his name doesn't come up that often.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, hey, how are you doing? And then he goes into the toilet. And when he comes out of the toilet, they're like, hey, who are you? What are you doing in my toilet? Because if he was in there for like more than 60 seconds and they didn't hear him.
Oh, so he has to go away
so
for
when
more
he
than
leaves,
six...
Yeah,
ah,
when he
right.
leaves for
okay.
60 seconds. So if the people are continuously talking to him, they don't forget him. And if he's next to someone or if he's sitting next to them in the car, they're always noticeable in that way.
Wow, that's... So every person always forgets him.
Always forgets him.
Because he can't stay so... he can't stay...
Yeah.
Always with someone.
Now, like I say about all the science fiction and fantasy ideas, I'll give every book one gimme, one like breaking rules thing. Doesn't matter how stupid it is, how unrealistic it is, I'm just going to give you this one thing. And thankfully, that's the one thing that this book does. And the rest of it is kind of adventure-y, spy, espionage stuff.
Yeah,
going
I mean,
on.
I just looked at the cover.
Yeah.
It's
very pulpy.
And there's... Yeah. What's this woman? Who's that?
Okay, well, let me get on to the woman. Oh, the woman is... Oh, yeah, I hadn't actually looked at the cover. Anyway, so...
The woman on the cover looks like she's just added to get it some...
No, she is an important part
she
of the book.
Important...
So,
okay.
So this guy, he even when he was a kid, he couldn't... Like, his mother would be like, holy shit, what's this baby
going on?
And it's actually quite an interesting beginning. Of course, it starts like in media res, he's doing his thing. And then like, oh, okay, now let me explain something.
Some backstory.
Yeah, a bit of backstory going on here. And so he explains how it was for his mother, because his father just couldn't cope and left straight away. And his mother kept on keeping journals all the time. She was keeping journals.
Ah.
So when he'd find a baby, the baby would have a note on it and it'd be like, read your journals. And then she'd read it. And she managed to keep that up until he was like, I can't remember exactly, 13, 14 years old. And then there was a fire in the house and she lost all the journals.
Oh, no.
And
she totally forgot about
it. And then he couldn't convince her. And And also, all that time, she was super depressed and super, it was really hard for her. And he realized that, oh, me being out of my mother's life, she actually has a healthier life, you all know, right. Because she's not going through the trauma of, like, just imagine saying, like, we have a small child, 5 years old, and you're like, no, I don't. And then you have to discover you do, but just then feel how bad would it be to realize that you're always forgetting, you know, so it's pretty awful.
But how does it work? He doesn't have any identity then.
Well, that's the thing. His identity is really tricky because any paper records where he's written about it remains.
Okay.
When it's written down, but computer records don't stay there. So if there's any computer reference to him in any files, so like when he uses a credit card, he just waits the like 60 seconds and then you can just use the credit card like just over and over again because it always forgets. Oh, it doesn't keep
really
track of what it is.
But to set it up, it's all done in paper.
Yeah. The way that it has to work is that to set that kind of stuff up, it has to be set up not for him, but then he can use it anyway.
Ah.
So anytime he books himself a flight or something like that, he turns up and they're like, ah, okay, you buy a ticket. Okay, I buy a ticket. And then once he goes through, because that's all electronic, he goes through to the gate. And then his ticket isn't valid anymore because it's already been wiped. So then he's like, okay, well, I'll just buy another ticket right now.
Okay.
Like that. So every flight he goes on, he has to like book it and pay for it like 3 times in a row because it's all computer. So every time he meets someone, he's like, well, I know there's a spare seat on this plane now because, you know, I just bought it before, but it's not there anymore. So he has to buy something within sight of somebody, show them the ticket, and then is allowed on the plane, and you know, and then it's all paper from then on and stuff like
that's
that.
Difficult.
So this whole book, or big parts of this book, and what makes it so fun is how, like, every situation he goes into, it's like another little thought experiment. Okay, what would you do in this situation if computer records didn't work and you had to have paper records, or you know, you had to be standing in front of somebody and all that kind of stuff. So
how's it with telephone?
Telephones. Oh no, he can talk to someone on a telephone as long as they don't put him on hold for more than 60 seconds.
Okay.
Because if they do, they forget about him and they're like, who are you?
Okay. Where were you talking?
So the setup of this is that he starts off and he's a spy. He works for the CIA and because that's a pretty good job. And it's actually quite, I don't want to give too much away this, but it's actually a really clever way of how they make him, like how they train him and how he gets recruited and actually starts working for the CIA. And you think, well, how can he work for the CIA if no electronic records are kept on him and everybody forgets that he exists? So
including his bosses.
Well, that's the thing. They, after a while of it just not working and him having to leave notes and people signing, it's like, oh yeah, this is what happens to him, and it's a weird thing and you'll forget about it. So there's a guy who was going to retire because he's starting to have Alzheimer's disease, and they're just like, actually, don't retire. You can be the main guy for this guy here, because the guy with Alzheimer's disease kind of admits that he can forget things now and then.
He's
written it down to himself.
Weird to him.
Yeah, it's not weird to him that he's forgotten someone. He just calls up this guy and goes, right, look in the folder. It's on the bottom. It's in the bottom drawer. Look in this folder. And he goes, oh yes, I must have forgotten about you. and does it about that. And there's also notes to him. So he's always the guy who has to kind of do all of this kind of stuff.
Okay,
but. And also the fun thing is that all of these missions that he does, he never gets credit for them. And they're like, oh yeah, and we got this guy and we found out this intel about this guy. So it's really important that you remember this. And he's like, yeah, I was the one who gave you that intel. And he's like, okay, well, there's no note of it here
that you gave us.
So it's so all of that kind of stuff is
so
fun.
He's very lonely.
He is quite... This is the thing that I didn't really get from the book. He seems like, oh, he's very happy-go-lucky. He's actually quite a fun character to be around and to read the story of, because he's always like, I can do this. But, you know, I would much prefer it to be a bit darker, you know, a bit more...
Yeah.
The
depth is a bit missing.
Yeah, like, if someone has a power like this, for example, the Invisible Man, all Invisible Man stories become...
Dark at some point.
Yeah, yeah, they're all dark. There's the movies often become that way. The original Invisible Man by H.G. Wells. We've talked about it on me and Jesse did a whole episode on that, and it's about if someone does that, unless they're a pure person like Captain America, he gets his extra power, but because he was a weak man before, he suddenly becomes, you know, you want your hero to be good at
the
start,
yes,
and then when they're not good anymore, when they're more powerful, They're good. Okay, there's something weird going on here. Ah, that's better.
I'm sorry. No,
you didn't do anything. It's just it moved a bit. There's a bit of buzzing in the background that I could hear in my headphones. Anyway, so yeah, he seems to be a bit like, yay, and he's all, I'm not saying he's too good. It's just I think there could have been a bit more, I don't know, like some of the ways that he talks about it, that it is very lonely, but it's all like, that's just sort of like a minor inconvenience for him. Whereas I think in that situation, it would be a lot darker.
Yeah.
You know, even if he is a good person, it would be a lot more depressing for him and stressful for him, even though that's all he's ever known. But
okay.
I don't know.
So what's the woman then doing?
Well, she's a Russian spy, and mild spoiler for the start of the book, she remembers him.
I just wanted to say there must be a person, like a counterpart
or
something.
And the counterpart is Yelena, who is the Russian ex-KGB. Well, not KGB. What's it at the moment? It's the Russian spy, FSB or something like that. And so she used to be there, but then she's left, but then she comes in and contact and stuff like that. And there's lots of stuff about quantum bits and pieces.
Okay.
Not like Quantum Knight. But like quantum computers and things, and you realize that, he's an embodiment of like a Schrodinger's cat, you know, sort of like, is he there or not, he never collapses anybody's wave function. What I don't even know all that stuff, but that's in there as well. And there's stuff about quantum computers and things.
So it just passes as it's stuff that happens.
And he goes on adventures, and he has to discover why Yelena, or he's wanting to discover why Yelena can remember him and other people can't.
Does he also like try to find out why he is like that?
Yeah, but he's never been able to do it because everyone he ever approaches about it
forgets about him,
and they're like, oh, more research here and stuff. So it's always really difficult for him to kind of make those connections.
Mm.
And then there are some people in here, and he goes to these. There's a lot of quantum computer stuff, so he meets these quantum people, and he's like, oh, that might have something to do with me. You know, so that's actually what the story of the book is. I don't want to give too much away there. At the end of the book, it starts getting really stupid. It's already quite stupid. And then, you know, it's like, I'll give everyone book one gimme.
Yeah.
At the end of the book, by the time I got there, I was like, you know, it started off this stupid. The only way it could have ended, if it had ended just like, oh, and then I completed the mission and that was it.
Like a Mission Impossible kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that wouldn't have been bad, but it would have felt just like a, I don't know, these superhero stories, and this is a superpower, being able to be forgotten is kind of a superpower. It doesn't matter, and that's the thing with all these superhero things, it doesn't really matter where the power comes from.
Yeah.
The interesting stories of how you deal with that power and what you can do with that power, you know.
Yeah.
And you should never really look too closely at where the power comes from, because generally it's like, well, why doesn't everyone have this power?
Yeah.
or
in the case of Superman, it kind of gets like sometimes a bit in the way.
Yeah.
We don't really want to know.
Yeah. Don't stop showing me stuff before he turned up in Smallville. Just all of that stuff. Stop showing us that. That's bad. Anyway, yeah. So.
So how big is that book? Is that a normal novel?
Yeah, it's like novel, like 200. I'd say if it was a book, like 250 pages or something like that. It's a brisk read. It's good fun. Like I say, it gets really stupid at the end, but I kind of expected it to go stupid. I didn't expect it to go that stupid, but that's not a negative in a book like this, where you're reading it and you're like, this is really stupid.
Yeah.
And as you're reading through, you're like, wow, this keeps getting more, like, for a long time, it's kind of like moderately stupid. And then it gets a little bit less stupid and you're like, oh, this is kind of serious a bit. But then it's like, oh no, let's go full on stupid at the end. And it's all action adventure. It's all car chases. Actually, maybe there aren't any car chases. I know he has to run away from people. There are car chases. But the point is, if he can just get away from someone for like 60 seconds and they can't see him, that's all he needs. And then
he just needs to hide.
Yeah. And one of the things is, at one point he goes to Iraq and Syria and all this crazy stuff, and at one point they're like, shut up or we'll put you in the back of this car, and he's like, yeah, do it. Put me in the back of the car. And they get put him in the back of the car, and he springs himself out of his thing, you know, and they just forget he's in there, so the next time it stops he just jumps out and runs away.
Yeah.
And there's lots of fun, oh, I'm escaping from this situation, or I'm gonna get into this situation. And so many plans that he makes just relies on people forgetting him.
Yeah.
Like he walks up and says, oh, can I do this? And they're like, no. And he's like, okay, don't worry. And then he comes back like 70 seconds later and is like, oh, can I do this? And, you know, it's like, you know, the Groundhog Day of like, people don't remember the last time they interacted with you. So you just get better and further.
You get to know more about the situation. Yeah.
But
it's like a bit like an opposite kind of James Bond behavior. Oh, I just go in with my weapon and then everything will be
all
right.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, and that was what I was really disappointed about the latest movie, Spectre.
Bond.
The latest James Bond movie, Spectre, is like he never had a plan. He was just like, oh, I'll just go in, I have a gun in my hand, and I'm going to walk into this building, and everything just magically turns out right for him. No, the thing is, that would take like 8 attempts to manage to do that. It's like a computer game level. You take 8 attempts and you die and then you reset the game or you reload your load spot. That's what he can do.
Okay.
So it isn't time travel, but it sometimes feels a bit like one of those, you know, Groundhog Day looping time things where you can have more than one attempt at something.
Yes.
But he can't. But also, more than that, is he can set something up that first time. Like he can go somewhere, drop something off, walk away, come back, drop something else off, walk away. And each individual thing isn't suspicious, but when it all comes together, his plan pays off at the end. So
yeah. Okay. It sounds like I would have fun reading it.
Probably. It's not bad. I mean, again, it isn't anything special. It's got this fun, quirky setup. If this setup sounds like it's fun for you, yeah, read it.
Okay.
It's fine. I mean, it's
sounds
not
good.
It's not. It shouldn't win. If it wins any award, and like you say, that front cover is like really
kind of telling, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like so many of the American books have like this really like stupid covers, and then you'll read, and then you'll look at the international versions, like the British covers. And this would never sell in Britain
This wouldn't sell in Germany as well.
No.
Like in Germany, you have some nice. Proper art or front cover art.
Well, let me have a look. Let me have a look here. I'm sure I put it on Goodreads.
Well, I'm sure it hasn't come out in Germany, first of all.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have. It probably won't. I mean, it doesn't.
But it is not self-published. No.
No, I don't think it's self-published, is it? No, I don't think so. Let me have a look at, how do I find my books? No, what am I looking for? Let me click over here because I'm sure it'll be because I haven't really updated Goodreads recently, even though I'm reading like 3 or 4 of the books at the moment.
So it's a Bain.
Bain Publishing. Bain is like an American military science fiction specialist. This isn't that. I mean, it's not military science fiction, but that's kind of the thing that Bain is known for.
Right.
You know, like Anna Harrington books. Did you read that one? No.
Anna Harrington. No. On Basilisk Station.
It's on like Basilisk Station.
Some of the books that you can get in an airport things.
It's airport books. But they're known for other editions. I'm clicking on other editions. I'd be surprised.
Sure there's
only one edition.
One edition.
Paperback, 256 pages. There you go.
Yeah.
Kindle edition.
Good guess there.
Ebook. Well, it felt like kind of like 200 pages.
And it has three. Oh, it even has a bit more stars.
Like 3.78. I'd give it like 3.5 stars or something like that.
You
I mean, I put three stars here. Like, look, Julie Davis rated it 4 stars. Scott D, who was on the, I enjoy this. A very interesting premise. Love how it played out. And that's it. It's like an interesting premise, and. Almost nothing else to it.
Okay.
But it's interesting enough to keep going. Like I say, it keeps going until about page 200, and you're like, okay, right, this is interesting to now, but it needs that big finish, and it delivers the big finish. It's stupid, and I don't want to give it too much away, but there is a big finish to it, which takes that on to another level.
Okay.
Like, takes it up to another level.
It could get, like, some additions, some, like, follow-ups or something?
Well, at the end... At the end, it said, it's no giveaway because it's setting up for it at the end. And they're like, hey, and you know what? At this point, guess what we've got to do? It's like, what? We've got to find the other people like you. And they're
It's like an X-Men kind of, we have to find the other mutants.
Yes, it's that kind of thing. So I'm sure there's going to be a follow-up. And maybe on a follow-up, like there'll be an unforgettable villain.
Yeah.
Well, or a very forgettable
that was
villain.
What the other thing. So, Yelena.
Yelena.
She is the counterpart in the sense of that she can actually remember him, but she's not a villain in this.
No, she's not a villain. No.
There
are villains.
But there's several. There's not one big.
There's some.
Like in the superhero books, you often have like a super villain.
There is kind of a. Again, I don't want to give too much away about it, but there are some people. There are some good guys in here.
Okay.
And there are some quantum physicists who are good guys. And there's some other people who are kind of involved in that area, which are bad guys, which is fine. Which is fine.
All right.
I don't want to say too much about it because if you've read other stuff, like other science fiction, some of these ideas aren't totally original. So okay. I could kind of see where it was going. And that's why I say in the big finish, I was like, are they going to go down this way? And it's like, yes, and they do. Okay. And it's fine.
But would you say it would have been a bit of a better book if the background of this being lonely as a person who's forgettable, if that would have been,
it would be a different book. It wouldn't be. Wouldn't be an espionage spy thriller action adventure book.
So it wouldn't even fit if that would be added.
No,
like
I mean, but I'm saying is like it. If there was more of that, I think it would have rounded out his character a bit better.
Okay.
But that's not what the book is about. The book is about, you know,
stupid action.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like when James Bond is about, oh, angst about mother dying and oh, this kind of stuff. You're just like, oh, just drive a car really quickly and shag a woman and jump off a cliff. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, that's the, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I understand.
Sometimes you can go, okay, bring it up a little bit, you know, have that kind of stuff in there a little bit, but don't over-egg it with that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I think this strikes, I think it's not far enough on the deep character kind of, like a slight darkness, more darkness with the character would make his character a bit more interesting. But for what this book is wanting to do in 256
it's totally
pages,
sufficient.
It's fine.
Okay.
I know it's weird to say that the book's fine, and it's a fine book. It was fun. I read it very quickly, and
it turns out not so forgettable.
That, if I had to do all of this like without your prompts, I'm not sure how much I would have had to say about it. But you know, sharing it with you in 20 minutes, I've done the whole book in 20 minutes. Some of our reviews go an hour and a half. This one, like, it feels like we're repeating ourselves a little bit getting to 20 minutes about this book. There's just nothing else to it. Although, what I did like about it, in some ways, is that like he gets into these situations, and he, because he is a good guy, it actually feels quite nice that when he's in a situation and say someone dies accidentally, it does kind of weigh on him, because like he gets out of his depth. Normally he's never had to worry about any other person. It's always been him. And he's never had to worry about this, and then he actually gets into some situations which are more dangerous. And what is interesting is that he's not really a superhero, that he can't really deal with this. He has to rise to that.
Okay, it's a very humane kind of character.
When somebody dies, you actually, like, he does kind of move on with it, and sometimes it feels a bit frivolous, like, oh, that person's dead. Oh, well, move on a bit. In this book, it's like there's a little nod to it that so other people's lives aren't just completely expendable.
Okay.
And
that's
but
what
then
you
it,
appreciate about it.
Yeah, and then it really shows how dangerous some things are, you know, in that way.
Okay.
So, for example, like in all of these superhero movies, we've been trying to catch up on Marvel movies.
Mainly because I have no clue about Marvel things.
All you've seen is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
so we started off with Iron Man and did Iron Man 2. No, we started off with Captain America. Iron Man 2, Thor, and we'll go on to Avengers next. We're skipping Hulk. Don't try to convince us to watch that. We probably won't get around to it. And but in all of these, it doesn't matter who they were at the start. Once they get their powers, suddenly they become amazing fighters and amazing tacticians and amazing people, like amazing warriors.
Yes.
Whereas in this book, what makes Loki the most interesting villain so far is because he isn't just a carbon copy of the main bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Iron Man, the main bad guy was like another guy with the same Iron Man suit.
Yes.
You know? And in the second Iron Man movie, there was another guy with another suit, but also he had Tony Stark's ability to build stuff in montages.
Yes,
you know, I'm building stuff in a montage. That's a superpower in the Marvel universe, is montage building things. And both him and the Russian guy both had that kind of power. And in Captain America, the bad guy was like him, who was given this serum and it made his face fall off and turn red or whatever happens like that. But it was the same. It was the same power. It brought out. It was the opposite, but it brought out his evil nature more.
Instead of
his good nature. Yes. Whereas Loki is just a totally different character than Thor. Like, if Thor was just going up against somebody else who had a big hammer, you're just like, well, that's not going to be very interesting, is it? And it's like, yeah, we kind of learned that from the Hulk movie and from the Iron Man movie and from the Captain, you know, like, we've got to do something different. And anyway, all that to say that in this book, when you actually have someone who's got a superpower, maybe that doesn't help them fight.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help. And when he's being trained by the CIA training people, and they're like, oh, like, I'm not going to teach you how to fire a gun. I'm not going to teach you how to fight, hand-to-hand combat, nothing like that. I'm going to teach you how to escape. I'm going to teach you how to break an arm lock and run. And I'm going to, And you're like, oh, right. So it's actually interesting to see a superhero. This isn't a superhero book, but it is like a superpower.
Yes.
It's a power that somebody has. And to use that not for martial arts or fighting stuff.
That's actually very sympathetic to me. I really like that approach.
Yeah. So it's fun in that way. Like I say, it's a different way of doing action adventure where somebody isn't just amazing in a brawl.
Yeah, because it's like a premise that in action, in any kind of hero situation, what you have to do is you have to face it and fight it and stuff. And I find that so stupid in some points, because in many, many ways, in many situations, running away and hiding and stuff would make so much more sense.
Obviously the best option. Yeah.
So much. And in some of the action movies and hero movies, you think like, why are they now going to find out what this noise was? Why are they doing this? Why are they not just running away and call the police? Yeah, I know.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. I give it 3.5 stars because it's fine. It's not going to blow anyone's socks off. It's fun.
It's a fun read.
It's a fun summer read. If you're looking for a fun summer read, I would suggest Unforgettable by, what was his name again? Eric?
Exactly. Unforgettable person.
No.
Eric James Stone.
Eric, where is it? Unforgettable, Eric James Stone. Yep, so give it a go. Next up, I'm reading The Golem and the Genie by someone whose name I've forgotten, but it's fun. But it's kind of a long audiobook. It's taken me a long time to get through it. I'm reading Diaspora by Greg Egan. I just started that. And as soon as I started, I was like, oh, I've read this one before as well. And that kind of happens with so many of these kind of books. Like, it's hard science fiction books with a name which doesn't really say what the book is about. Unforgettable, I'd remember, oh, that's the one about the guy who's totally forgettable.
Yes.
It should actually be called Totally Forgettable, but that's not a great name for a book.
No, I think the title fits.
Yeah, and The Golem and the Genie, you're like, well, I remember what that book's about. But a Greg Egan book called Diaspora, I'm like, oh, have I read this one before? And I was like, definitely read it before. Yeah, because I was reading it, I was like, oh, I remember this chapter. I don't remember the whole book, but like as I'm getting to the chapters, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this chapter. Yeah. I remember this scene. I remember what's going to happen by the end of here. And then I get to the next one, I'm like, oh yeah, no. Anyway. Enough of that. We've got Saga, which we'll get to. Maybe we'll wait until the next volume comes out. Volume 6 comes out in July or something.
Because there's not really anything like major to say about it.
There's not an end point where we got to.
No.
See if there's an end point that we get to. Yeah. And I've just got some other audiobooks that I've just downloaded because I've got lots of credits because I've not been listening to audiobooks recently. It's been like podcast season for some reason.
Yeah.
I got Pavana, which is...
Keith Richards.
I've not read it, but Juliana's currently reading it, so we'll do an episode.
I'm listening to it as an audiobook as
Oh,
well.
Are you?
Yeah.
You got the ebook and the audiobook.
No, I'm listening to the audio. I just got the audiobook.
Oh, okay.
I listened to it on the flights. Well, on the several flights to England.
I just spent a credit on that. Maybe I should have just got it from you because you can actually give.
You could have just asked me.
I thought you were on the
German audible.
Well,
this
we'll
problem again.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Anyway, I'm currently finishing off the series of Anne Leckie.
Anne Leckie, almost at the end there.
The Mercy...
I got another Malazan
Mercy
book.
Mercy of... What is it? Justice? No. Mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Ancillary
Mercy. That's
Ancillary
that's
Sword.
The third one.
Yeah, Ancillary Justice, Ancillary Mercy, Ancillary Sword. So
I'm at the last one then.
Mercy. Yes. Last one is Mercy.
Yeah.
I've got another Malazan book and another book as well. I can't remember. Oh, We by Evgeny... I can't remember. It came out in like the 1930s or 20s or something. And it's classed as one of the first... a very influential dystopia written, I think, in Russian or in Polish or something like that. Very influential in 1984 and other dystopias from kind of mid-20th century. This was one that came before it, and lots of people have recommended it to me, and it's one of those kind of like foundational works in science fiction, which I've never got around to reading, so I've got the audiobook of that, so I'm going to give
audiobook.
That one a go.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's it. So... That'll do. You can email me, luke@juggler.net, if you want to contact me about anything. I do reply to every single email that I got, unless you're an author or a publisher or a promoter or publicist or anything like that. Don't email me about a book. I just don't care. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @LukeBurridge. Juliana is at JUKU Berlin, Yuku Berlin. It's kind of her initials or beginnings of her name and Berlin, where she's from. You don't post very much on there, do you?
Twitter? No.
No. I'm on Instagram now for the last month or so and really enjoying that. Yeah, I'm at Luke Burridge there. And also, if you're wondering, hey, Luke should review this book. Has he reviewed it yet? Go to sfbrp.com, click on episode lists, and you'll find a list of all the episodes, all 305 episodes plus bonus stuff as well. And you can see which books that I've read and reviewed. Anything else to say, or have we got to the end?
I think that's it.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.